a welcome to all, and especially those joining us here this morning as guests. It's great to have you. This morning we're going to take a look at a text in which we will see how great the grace of Jesus Christ our Savior is. And we will see that He heals all. And we will also see how mankind does not always give thanks for this grace and this mercy. But we will see that God continues to be faithful to all of us. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice, glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." Amen. Please be seated. So Jesus is now on his way going through Samaria, or on his way to Jerusalem, and he's going between Samaria and Galilee. Now we have to understand that the Galileans were looked down upon as being Jews, but they were like second-class citizens. And Samaritans were the worst. And so, Jesus is now in a place that's not considered to be all that great. And he enters into a village. And he's met by 10 leopards. As he entered the village, he was met by 10 leopards and stood at a distance. Now, I understand this in the laws of the custom and basically the laws of the day. Lepers were not able to be with the common people. They were separated off into colonies, and it is still actually true today in many parts of the world. You contact leprosy and you're put off. You can be with your own kind. And I was talking to someone last Vespers who had been to a place where they did this. If you contacted leprosy, you were immediately out of your family. You were cast aside. You were no longer part of that. You were free to go to the leper colony and conduct your life however you wanted. People, for the most part, would never touch you. They were afraid of you. And at this time, it was really looked at as a judgment of God. If you had leprosy, you had it because of punishment from God. And so now here are 10 of them. And if we notice, they stood at a distance and lifted up their voice saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So here are these 10 lepers and they're calling across the way, "Jesus, have mercy on us." All 10 of them, it seems, cry this. And Jesus, unlike many times, is instant in this. When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. You see, at this time, a priest had to examine you to see if you no longer had the disease, if you had been cleansed from the disease. The priests made those judgments. And so Jesus is sending them so that they will know and they will be back in society. When the priests will pronounce them clean, then they are back in full fellowship with all of the people. One of them turns back. When he saw he was healed, he turned back and began praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And now he was a Samaritan. All 10 were healed. All 10 were cleansed on their way to see the priest and to be proclaimed clean. And one looks down and realizes that he's now whole and perfect. And only one turns back. And he falls at the feet of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and he worships him. And he was a Samaritan. We really don't understand within our culture, or it's very difficult for us to understand, how Samaritans were looked upon by good Jews. It's a difficult leap for us, because there's really no one that is that hated among us for the most part. I'm going to use it again. I'm sorry, I'm battling in my mind here how I'm going to present this. But it would be as if the only one that came back was one of the Taliban. That's how opposite this could be. There absolutely could be no way that somebody like that could give praise to God when the Jews heard this story. Samaritans were unable to approach God. They were heretics. And there's no way that God would love them or cleanse one of them. He can't do it. They're terrible people. He really should have just cleansed those other 9 and left him there. But that's not our Savior. And that's not our God. Jesus doesn't take back the cleansing from the other 9 either. When Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? You see, this really comes to the part where it comes to us. And it comes home to us. Because today I can stand up here and proclaim your sins forgiven in the name and shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is true. And it's true for each and every one of you. And now, it's up to you whether you receive that message of grace and mercy and the love of God, or you reject it. Do you give thanks to God the Father for sending His Son to be our sacrifice? Or do we ho-hum and go on about our lives? Because that's really where the crux to the issue is. All 10 were cleansed. When Jesus went to the cross and he shed his blood for the sin of the world. That blood was for everyone, every sin committed, anything that's going to happen. And he did it without us asking. He did it before we were even consciously aware of ourselves, but He knew we needed Him. So now what do we do? Do we give thanks? Do we praise God that even a sinner like me can be forgiven, can be loved by God? You see, because the hard part for us is we somehow think that God's grace was good enough for us in here. For us, part of the group. But God's word is not bound to the group. God's word is alive and for all human beings. Even the foreigner, the stranger. And see, do we spread that message like that? Because it is not our responsibility how that message is received. It's our responsibility to spread the message. To tell people that you are forgiven. That God loves you. Regardless what you've done in your life. Regardless of how sinful you think you are. God has sent His Son. And it's not because of our action. It's because we believe God's promises. Because in the end, He said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." You see, it's not because He came back to pray. It's because he believed in Jesus Christ. And your faith has made you well is not that he's been cleansed from leprosy, but there's something much greater here, something that's in the spiritual realm, that he's been saved not just from leprosy, but from the human condition, which is sin. And that's what we need to realize. We are saved from our sinful condition. We can have all kinds of healings and all these things on this side. But none of them really matter. Because I hate to say it, unless God decides to send His Son again, soon, most of us are going to pass on. Sounds like a morbid thought. Sounds sad. But you know what? When we pass on, we have a promise of something much greater than what is here. And it is our faith that we believe God's promise, what He has done through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we are forgiven and that we have an eternal home in heaven that saves us. It's not by our actions. It's not by the good things we do or the bad things we don't do. It's do we believe and cling to this sure thing, the faith that we have been given in Jesus Christ. And yes, when we actually come to that realization, we're thankful. It's hard not to be. When you realize who we are and who I am. When I come face to face those times when God really becomes real and His Son is revealed to me, how little I deserve forgiveness. But yet God does. And when we have that experience, when God reveals Himself to us, and reveals His Son to us, we are thankful. Gratitude is really the only thing that we have to offer, because we realize that that's all there is. He has done everything so that we could be declared righteous, that we could be declared His children and His heir. To the point that Paul could say this in Timothy, this saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with Him, we also live with Him. If we endure with Him, we also reign with Him. And he goes on to say, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. And that's really the separation point. It's not what church we go to. It's not what place we are at in this world. It's not how many good things I can do and chalk up on the chalkboard. It's whether or not I deny my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do we proclaim Him as Lord and Savior? As the one who allowed His blood to be shed to forgive our sins? Or do we deny that we even need a Savior? And that's really what it comes down to. God is faithful. God sent His Son to forgive the world. Do we believe this, and are we thankful for what He has done? Do we throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ, worship Him, and thank God that we have been cleansed? You see, all 10 leopards were cleansed, but only one came back. Where are we within this whole thing? And that's the question I'll leave you with. In Jesus' name, amen.